flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We're pleased to welcome JP Shadrick, who is a friend of the show, sideline reporter, pre and post host, really covers everything that has to do with the Jaguars for their radio network. Well, JP, I will start with Liam. What was the reaction to the new head coach in Jacksonville?
Well, you know, it was a weird, wild swing of emotions, I'll say that, Amy. I mean, let's rewind a little bit to the firing of Doug Peterson that day after the season, Black Monday. It wasn't the whole thing. Trent Baalke stayed on as the general manager. Then there was the press conference with the owner, Shad Khan, and Trent Baalke together, and some mixed reviews, let's say, on that after the fact. Okay, so the next 2 weeks go by. They go through the process. They interview 10 candidates for the head coaching position, most of them virtual. And then Mr. Khan, we hear the other day, said after those 10 interviews, he reevaluated everything, kind of reflected on the process, and realized, okay, it's time for a change at the general manager spot. And then Liam Cohen is back in the picture again. And, you know, there was a comment in there, too, that Tony Boselli is involved now in the coaching search, and he's the Hall of Fame left tackle here, and there's not really a title for him right now, but at some point there might be. But that's all happened in the last week. And then Liam Cohen, there was reports, as you all know, he was going to go back to Tampa Bay as the OC for more money, and then came back and interviewed and took the job. So if you ask the Jaguars fans about Liam Cohen and the way it went down, I think they're all fired up because they stole him away from Tampa. You know, let's see how it goes the next little while. He's got some work to do. He's got to build out a staff. He's a young guy. It's his first coaching job. And but so far, I think so good. But it's been a whirlwind here in Jacksonville, Amy.
Definitely has. JP, I go back to 23 season when the Jags were 8-3, had a couple games on the rest of the AFC South, and then the wheels came off. It seemed like the Jags never recovered from that in the 24 season. What happened over the last year and a half? Because this team's got talent. I don't get it.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, that was a weird one. Now, you got to go back to that time frame, 8-3 start, and then some injuries started to set in. I'm not going to lean on injuries, but I'm just telling you how it went down. The quarterback had 4 different injuries that year. Christian Kirk got hurt, had a core injury, and didn't play the rest of the season. The wide receiver, who's a key part of what they wanted to do on offense. The O-line had injuries. They were rotating around. They had a lot of stuff going on there. But all they had to do was win one more game. And they couldn't – they needed one more game in that season, and they couldn't get it done. You always say when it's going good, oh, yeah, you know what? No, one season – it's always a new season. It you know, it doesn't really bleed over into the next year. Well, this one did. It felt like it did. You can say it didn't, and it never does. But this one, in hindsight – it felt like, okay, there's a little hangover here. What's going on? Like, how do you shake out of this thing? They never really got it together. They started 0-4 this year. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was there. They got the offense. It's year three of this group. Like, can they figure it out? They got a couple new pieces at wide receiver. They couldn't do it on offense. They didn't have a consistent running game. The defense was awful. Absolutely awful. And you know, in 2023, they were middle of the pack of the NFL, like 15th, 6th, somewhere in there. I don't know the exact number. But not awful, but not great. I mean, average, right? They changed the defensive staff. They fired everybody. New defensive coordinator. Let's get this better. We need to be better. We need a top 10. They were one of the worst defenses in the NFL last year. Couldn't stop anybody. Big plays every week. It got worse, and it got a whole lot worse. So they couldn't stop anybody on defense. But when it mattered late in games, they couldn't make a big play, or they would give up a massive play in the final 5 minutes of a game, 4 minutes of a game. And that's what it was. So they lost 10 one-score games.
Right.
And that's, that's almost, that's impossible to do. I mean, it's really hard to do. And that it was a combination of those things. The offense couldn't get out of their own way. As Mr. Khan said, the owner, they were predictable because, you know what? You're predictable when you can't run. So they couldn't run when they needed to run on offense, and the defense couldn't stop anybody when it mattered. So it bled over from 2023 into 24. And then it just, you know, the quarterback gets hurt again and, you know, has the shoulder injury and tries to come back and then gets hit in the head. And you know, the season was lost by that point anyway. You could feel it unraveling as it went along, especially in the last 2 months.
There's been some debate, maybe I would call it tepid debate, over Trevor Lawrence. How have you seen him grow, whether it's leadership, whether it's skills on the field, and take that role, even in the midst of all this adversity?
Well, Amy, I mean, no matter what, he's going to be the guy here until 2030. So, I mean, he's here. Like, he's like, he can argue about if he is or if he's not. He is. Like, he's the guy. Like, he's going to be around. So that was, I think, the number one priority in this whole coaching process, you know, interviews and things. That's one of the, if not number one, it's right there near the top. Like, how do you get Trevor Lawrence right? You got to think about what he's gone through here in Jacksonville, right? Obviously, he came in 2021, Urban Meyer, his rookie year. That didn't go well. Obviously, another change, right? Another offense. You know, the last 3 years, different offense. He's been hurt. He missed a bunch of games 2 years ago at the end. Missed some this past season. You know, is that a concern moving ahead? Can he battle through it? This will be another offense yet again moving forward. Got to get another relationship with a third head coach now in what will be his fifth season in the NFL. But he's the guy. He's the franchise quarterback. He signed the contract. Mr. Khan believes in it. And obviously the head coach certainly believes in it, because that's a big piece of why he's here right now, Liam Cohen. So how do they build it around him? How do they make him his best self? And that's going to be the priority now for Liam Cohen is, okay, what does Trevor Lawrence do well? What can we get him to do a little bit better? But how can we get pieces around him and formulate this offense around what Trevor Lawrence can do? And you got to keep him upright. We talked about the run game. Well, it starts with the offensive line. And you got to protect the quarterback, right? But sometimes the quarterback has to protect himself, too. He's got to learn that there's some fights you just don't need to fight, right? I mean, a head first dive in a game late in the season, and you hurt your left shoulder, and you're done. I mean, that's one of those things. Okay, maybe we step out of bounds here, you know? So it's got to be an organizational philosophy that the quarterback stays upright. And that's what That's what the Indianapolis Colts did so well with Peyton. You know what? We're going to call plays that protect the quarterback. If we have to throw it incomplete and throw it in the dirt, fine. If we have to teach Peyton Manning to throw it in the dirt and not run, okay, he's not going to run.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's not that guy. But if we have to dirt the ball, okay, fine. We'll take a play. If we need to design certain things for Peyton that he doesn't get a hit, I'd rather have the next three drives instead of miss you for 3 weeks. Like, that's got to happen, I think. And that's got to be an organizational philosophy to keep Trevor Lawrence on the field, because that's what this offense has to have. If he's not out there, you don't have a shot at all. So I think that'll be a priority in this offseason.
The defense was 31st in the NFL. So that's that's also tough when you're constantly in tight games late on the clock. What's the first priority on that side of the ball?
Well, I mean, how long do we have to talk, Amy? I mean, we've got one priority, you know, that's the offensive side. That's one thing, the head coach is the offensive guy. All right, well, who's going to be they're interviewing defensive coordinator. So clearly the first-year coordinator last year is not going to make it to next year. They've got edge players. They got Josh Hines-Allen under contract through 2028. They've got Trayvon Walker, who's the number one overall pick, who had 10 sacks last year on the other side. I would say the interior of the defensive line left a lot to be desired. They've actually invested some money there and just hadn't worked out. Really the middle of the defense. Middle of the D-line, linebacker play was inconsistent in the middle, and then the safeties in the secondary. The middle of the defense, all the way from the front to the back, that's where it is. Pretty much every level they had issues. And you know, from blown coverages in the back and Andre Sisco running the wrong way sometimes and linebacker Devin Lloyd doing the same thing. I mean, he's a first-round pick too, right? And not having the girth in the middle of the defensive line. I mean, that's where it begins for me. So they've got some issues, in, at least on the personnel side on defense, I think, more than the offensive side. They get a lot more pieces on offense. They've got a couple cornerstones on defense, but they've got to do a lot of work in the personnel department this offseason, free agency, draft, to get that defense back up to middle of the pack in the NFL. What is their identity? And that's Liam Cohen's job.
Right.
Guess what? That's what you're going to be doing until we kick off the ball in September.
Well, he said, "I want savages."
I do too. Yeah, you know, I agree. Liam, good call. I think you need, it's a solid word, right? I mean, you need guys that just have that little extra in them. Maybe it's a little echo of the whistle stuff. You know, an attitude that they don't really give a damn about the other guy. You know, and we're going to go and knock your quarterback around.
Or how about biting kneecaps, shades of Dan Campbell?
I'm cool with that, too. That seems to be working out well in Detroit, so that's fine. Like, whatever that attitude or something, guys that really just care, like, that give a damn about football, and that's all they care about. Like, you need that. You need more of that. We need more of that in the league, by the way. That's not just a Jaguar issue, right? So that's what the Savages comment is about, and I agree. I mean, that's certainly when you're 31st in the league in defense and you're not even close, you need a whole lot more of those guys.
What was the response to the interesting version of Duval that Liam Cohen gave us?
Amy, here's the backstory. So we had a staff meeting at like noon. It was like the business staff came over to the football building and the football staff's there, that whatever's left is there, right? And I had to introduce Liam Cohen. So in the hallway outside, we're like, hey, Coach, we're going to do, after the fact, we're going to do this, you know, first Duval social media hit. And you're going to hold the thing, and let's hear you try it. Duval. All right, it was great. And then he gets on the stage with the staff, and he was great. It was on social media, and it was fine. And then 3 hours later, he kind of snuck it into the thing, and it happened, and whatever. You know, he's not he's from Rhode Island. I don't know. Like, he hasn't been around here. I have no idea. It'll come. I think it's really blown up about nothing, and we've got another fan event coming up on Thursday night. And he'll get another chance to do his first Duval in front of a bunch of fans, and I think he's going to nail it this time.
JP, before I let you go, you had a chance to call a game in the last 6 weeks in which the Kansas City Chiefs were playing on Christmas. Honestly, I look at that Christmas game against the Steelers, and it feels like that's when the offense finally found some consistency and some rhythm to it. Where do they get their staying power?
The staying power is just the way they find a way to craft plays up out of nowhere and put them in there at the impossible moment that you don't think it's coming. That's the magic of Andy Reid, is that they'll have something in their back pocket, or maybe they've worked on it earlier, or maybe they brought it back again but didn't put it in a game. You saw it last week, the diamond formation or whatever, the two touchdown runs. I mean, that they didn't run that all year. That's the magic. And then you have the players execute that in a key moment. That's where it's at. And obviously, the quarterback is number one. The tight end's doing his thing. And then that game on Christmas Day, he had a touchdown, a longer touchdown, of course. Had some plays as the game went along. And it's a weird thing about this team, though, in Kansas City. They don't have a super down-the-middle-of-the-field threat. But they've got threats everywhere else. They're running wide. They're running the wide receivers out of the backfield. It is tough. And then here comes Kelce again, running a little 7-yard turnaround and then flipping around and running for 7 after the catch. And it's a magical 14-yard first down, right? That's what they do. And they're going to do that to death. And the defense is really good, too. So they've got it. They've got it locked down. It is a formula, and they know how to do it. And they've got the magic formula right now in Kansas City.
It cracks me up because it does feel like over the last 2 years, the rest of the NFL is so sure that they had reeled in the Chiefs. We got them. We got them. Oh, we got them. And you talk about the number of games the Jaguars lost that were one score finals. Yeah. The Chiefs excel in those situations. And so often it feels like it comes down to that experience. And there's just no shortcut to the kind of experience they've got on the field.
I'm not sure they'd love to blow teams out. I mean, who doesn't? But, like, that's just not how it's gone.
Right? Right.
They're not. They don't score 30 points. It's not like they're not putting points on the board either.
Until that's last weekend, thing. Right?
Right. But all season long, they didn't score 30. It's like, who's winning all these games? They're the only team that's winning under 30 points consistently. But they know how to do it in a key moment, and they know how to make the call. They know how to execute. They know what it takes to win championships. But hey, you know what? If Saquon Barkley gets loose on the other side, we got ourselves a ball game.
You can find JP online at JP Shadrick, Shadrick. You hear him not only on the Jaguars radio network, but also their pre and post and all of their reporting, and then also play-by-play on Westwood One. It's great to connect with you for the first time in 25. JP, thank you so much.
All right, Amy. Always a pleasure. Appreciate you.